to give us advice, to maybe consult with us about how to structure any potential future debt that we may have to incur while we're going through all these projects. But they're just going to give us an overview and an introduction of themselves. And we know them somewhat. We haven't done business with them, at least since I've been on the council. But they've been, you know, around the city now for a while and studying our city, and they're going to just give us an introduction and tell us why that when we need to hire a financial consultant, you know, why it should be them. For the discussion of the creating an appeals process for the signed ordinance and violations of a PUD, et cetera, and to increase the corrections fund assessment, Judge Snedeker will be there to talk to us about increasing the fund corrections fund assessment. I'd like to hear more about that. That'll be the first time the mayor and council hears that. And then on the appeals process, I know that Councilman Martin has been wanting to look into the appeals process for the signed ordinance and violations. We also, you know, in this year's budget, we have a code enforcement officer that's going to be given the authority to write citations. Currently, our code enforcement officer, if they want to issue a citation, has to summons a police officer to assist with that. So we're going to create that position in the budget. So, you know, if you are in violations of say a PUD or another, you know, it could be a sign ordinance, for instance, we're going to cover that in the budget this year. Update on the K1 Center redevelopment project, phase one. I understand that may be pulled. I just spoke to the mayor early this morning, and she said that may be pulled. But if not pulled from the agenda, we're just going to get an update, you know, on the new roofing system. We have a couple of grants. One, the HUD grant, which is actually through Baldwin County Economic Development Alliance, and then the $3.8 million grant that we also have received to make the K1 renovations. I was looking forward to hearing that, but I think we're still waiting on a little bit more information, so that may be pulled. And then there's going to be some budget discussions. You know, the biggest item, I think, on tonight's agenda would be adoption. Or you could argue this, it's one of the top two anyway. The adoption of the 2024 fiscal year budget, which we've been going through now for 2 or 3 months, piece by piece. We've been breaking it down and going through it, and the mayor and her staff have that on tonight's agenda. So I'll just cover that as one of the big items. I don't look for any surprises. You know, we have about 16 new or either reclassified full-time and part-time positions. Currently, we have about 420 employees. So changes to that employee roster would equal about 16, which is probably a very reasonable amount for a city growing the way we are. It's a very, very large budget. If we were to be able to spend everything that we have, especially with our infrastructure projects, you know, it's a budget with a deficit, meaning that we're in the red, meaning we would have to borrow some money this year to undertake, especially all of the water projects that we have. And some of these, you know, sewer projects that we have, and a lot of the projects that we have will be refunded by, say, Restore Act money or other grants that we've gone after. But for the first time in a long time, we are in the red. But I think it'll be short term. You know, I don't think you're going to see this in the red for very long. It's not like, you know, the federal government where we, you know, every budget is a deficit. But this time, we're going to have to dip deep into our pockets to get these projects completed. And, you know, we have a plan, or we're working on a plan to borrow as little as possible, if at all. So
that's why you're looking at hiring the financial advisor. Well, that's,
and we hired one, you know, at the last meeting. I actually voted against it. My personal opinion is, you know, we know what we need to spend the money on, and I think that we have enough of a brain trust to figure out, you know, where we're going to get the money and how we're going to spread that out, using some of the money, the cash on hand that we have, and then you know, and then when that runs out, you know, we might have to get a loan or issue have a bond issuance. I'd probably be in favor of a bank loan, just because the rates are a little bit better, the cost of borrowing the money is a little bit less. I've made no bones about that. That's just the way I feel. But I'm also willing to listen to a financial consultant to see if they can tell me that they have a better way. But I think that we can do it in-house, personally.
Well, that's what the council has done for several years with you as council president.
Yeah,
in house.
You know, and you know, if you break this down, we may have say 10 projects going on that cost a lot of money, but I don't think with the city this size and the staff that we have that managing the income and expenses on, you know, 8 or 10 big projects is I don't think that that's very hard to do. Just my personal opinion.
The mayor left me what appears to be, I guess, part of the budget. If you want to look right here, gas department infrastructure, $4.46 million.
Yeah, that's just for this year.
Electric department infrastructure, $6.42 million.
Yeah.
Oh, this is for 23. No, this is 24.
Yeah,
for the new. Water department infrastructure, $18.6 million, and wastewater department infrastructure, $13.2 million.
Yeah, there's about $40 million.
Wow.
In expenses there. That's why I said it's in the red. Now we have some cash reserves that we can burn through before we borrow money, and that's another reason why I think we should just kind of borrow as we need it. I don't want to issue some big bond and then not be able to spend it, and then have to pay interest on something which we haven't, you know, been able to even spend yet. I think we just kind of borrow as we go, use up our cash reserves. That's why they're there. And you know, and when you don't need them, if you use your cash reserves and you get your infrastructure built up, you'll build up your cash reserves soon enough. You know, we spent years getting out of debt. You know, when I came on as councilman, we had about $49 million worth of debt. And we've eliminated all of our general government debt, and other than you could count, we have some actually leases of some equipment that count as debt, but it's a very small number. Our utilities debt is down to, you know, well under $10 million, maybe $6 or $7-8 million now. So we've paid off $40-something million since I've been on the council. So that in about a little over ten years. And I say that to say that when you see that number of $40 million, if we were to get everything taken care of, you know, we could do that again. We could pay all that off, and probably less than because we don't need to borrow all of that. So I would say in even less than 10 years, I don't want some 30, you know, year bond, you know, putting a, you know, just weighing down the government for the next, you know, 30 years and paying all that interest. I'd kind of practice what I do in my own household, Lori, and that's to, you know, eliminate the debt, to eliminate the interest payments. Now if you're receiving more interest than you're paying, then sometimes it makes sense to leave it in the bank and borrow. When we've done that short term, when short term rates were, you know, we got a loan recently in the city, it was 1.2%, you know, back before the Fed started raising rates. We had 1.12 maybe, and we were receiving interest at a little higher rate, so we borrowed money short term. That was during Hurricane Sally, but then we get reimbursed by FEMA.
Yeah.
So sometimes it makes sense. I don't want to make it sound like you never do it, but, you know, it's like when it makes sense to do so.
Let's move on to the agenda. And the other biggie other than the budget is the final adoption of an ordinance that would require folks that want to use our water to annex into the city if they are contiguous to the city already.
Yeah, you know, I don't disagree with this ordinance in principle, Lori, but I know that I have some questions about how this affects our water system. Let's say that you're near our city limits and you want water. I wanted to find out whether or not it would allow another utility to come in and basically cross our lines and take some of our territory, because, well, like I've said, you know, you got to look at this water situation. This is a very short-term situation. It's been exacerbated by a record heat this summer and record dry. I mean, we haven't had a bit of rain to help us out. So this is a short-lived, very short-lived problem. This will be solved by spring of this next year. We've had this ordinance in place, our water conservation ordinance in place, for several years. We've only had to enact it one time. You know, it's been for a couple of months, and while nobody likes it, we'll get there. We'll get through it. What I want to make sure of is that we don't allow somebody to come in and take over our utility territory, which would hurt our incomes. So we put all this money in infrastructure, and somebody comes in and starts taking our business, and I still don't have a clear answer on that. So I'm going to listen to this last read of this. I don't know whether or not I'm going to support it. You know, we've tabled it we were waiting for some answers, and I've been seeking some answers, Lori, and just quite honestly, and I'm not the only council member, but I'll let them speak for myself. There's still some unanswered questions on what the long-term damage to the city's revenues could be.
You know, from a citizen's point of view, we're not thinking about the revenue. We're thinking about the 500 neighborhood housing development, the 252 apartment development, the big new grocery store, and the incredible growth that's going to make us not be able to water our lawn again. We don't care about the revenue. We want enough water to do what we want to do.
That's a saber-rattling, Lori, right there.
But it's true.
No, it's not true. What you're saying there is just nothing but saber-rattling. And I'm telling you, what my question I'm having is if we deny them and some other utility has the right to serve them, we've done absolutely nothing, right? If I tell them
you don't have the capability to serve them, don't connect to them until we're served.
Well, we our average usage is far below what our capacity. We have just been in a situation. These aren't going to come online. Nothing was going to come online before next spring. And what I'm saying is people also get upset that we're growing so fast. And so my question is, if we deny them, can they get it somewhere else? Thus, that argument about quit letting them in is out the window.
But I think isn't the intent of this ordinance is what instead of them completely building the development and after they've done it all, then say, oh, can we annex, please? This is to make them pay the impact fees and annex first.
It is for
that.
I told you I didn't disagree with it in principle.
Right?
What I want to make sure of is that they can't do it anyway. Because if they can do it anyway, what's the point? And if they take over our territory just as soon as we get our water straightened out, which will be in probably 6 months, we've lost all that revenue. We lost every bit of it.
So you mean from a legal standpoint, that was Jay's concern. Legally, can you do this?
Well, right. Well, legally,
why no answer yet? I mean, aren't there other cities?
Legally, you can, but legally, can someone else, another utility, serve them if we deny them?
Well, somebody's going to have to if you deny them. I mean,
then what you're doing in the long term is then you're costing the city millions of dollars of revenue, which would pay for that infrastructure.
Okay, fair point. I see what you're saying, and we better not belabor.
We're in the business of selling water, whether we want to admit or not. We're also in the business of selling gas and electricity and sewer systems. And that is a big, big part of our revenue. And if we allow somebody to come in and take a chunk of our revenue, we're going to be left holding the bill for all these infrastructure improvements. And so we have to be very careful. That's just need the answer to that question. I can't seem to get the answer.
And just to remind everyone, I'm looking at the budget for 2024, Water Department Infrastructure, $18.6 million. Wastewater Department Infrastructure, $13.2 million.
That's for all new capacity, and then you can't sell it because somebody came in and took your customers. Then you've spent it for nothing, and then you're left holding the bill with nobody to fill the void to pay for it.
Okay.
That's my concern.
We're speaking with Fairhope City Councilman Jack Burrell here at 843, 72 degrees. This is WABF. Okay, what else on the agenda would you like to talk about? What is this Utility Board of Foley Riviera Utilities?
Oh, they have a piece of property that's just beyond our city limits. It's contiguous and out on Gape Road Extension, and they just want to annex into the city, which is, hey, that's great. You know, they want to annex. They're right on our fringes, and so we typically always allow that annexation to occur. They're not. I don't think they're using water there, but if they are, they're annexing in. So
yeah,
now
so
they can have
good.
It. According if five passes, so I don't think that's the case. But it says something for the city of Foley. Wanting to annex into the city of Fairhope means that they like dealing with the city of Fairhope. And I think we have a good relationship with them. So.
Okay. Oh, number nine, what is that? Submission of a pre-application for an airport improvement program and airport infrastructure grant project.
This is an annual thing. If you see the word, the FY 2024 Airport Improvement Program, AIP for short, that's the annual appropriation that the Fairhope Airport Authority applies for from the FAA every year. This is something we do every year. It also has to be approved by the City of Fairhope. The City of Fairhope is the Airport Authority sponsor. Therefore, we have to approve their pre-application. It's just a formality for them to be able to submit it. We do this every year.
Okay. What's number 14? allowing mayor to expend impact fees for projects designated from the impact fee account for police, fire, transportation, parks, recreation. This is actually being able to let go and spend the money.
Yeah, we have to approve it. You know, that's just part of the impact fee legalities. We collect impact fees for the purposes, those four purposes, police, fire, transportation, and parks and rec. And this just formally gives the mayor the ability to expend those funds, just what you said.
Okay, and then the budget is on there. Number 16, improves the selection of Krebs Engineering for engineering services for water distribution system capacity expansion project.
Well, and that's just, you know, one more thing that we're doing to, you know, we're right in the middle of a lot of expansion of our water capacity. And this just adds about 3 to 4 new tasks to that expansion of that capacity. But it also includes some studies and modeling of our system to just make sure when we bring this new water online, we have the right pressure in the system. Is our distribution system designed to handle new capacity? Where do you need to, you know, increase the diameter of certain pipes? We're talking big pipes, for instance. So one of the things that we would do is like water treatment plant number one. We would increase the, you know, capacity from 3 million gallons a day to 3.9. So there's 900,000 gallons a day. It also develops another well at the same location for an additional I gave a distraction from outside. Another 1 million gallons a day. So that's 1.9. Just to give you an idea, that right there is 20% of our capacity, about 22% of what we have right now. And then there's another improvement that would increase our capacity from 1.6 to 3.4. So that's another 1.8. So just these alone are close to a 40 to 50% increase in water capacity.
Okay.
Just that alone. And it's really probably not going to cost as much as you might think, because this is making use of locations that we already have and increasing our water capacity at existing locations, which is just smart business. I'm real excited about this.
Okay.
This is a really I'm glad you picked it out, because as boring as it may sound, it's a really, really big deal.
Okay, and that is item number 16 again on the agenda?
That is item 16, okay. And that's just, okay, you know, of course, selecting the engineering services provider.
Okay, for all those upgrades.
Yeah, we've been really happy with Krebs. You know, they've been doing a really good job at a reasonable fee.
Before we run out of time, is there anything you'd like to mention that I have not asked or brought up forward yet?
Yeah, you know, you may have seen on the news potentially putting a fitness or workout area down there by the pier.
I was looking for that article. I didn't even realize the city had bought that
piece of property. Well, you haven't.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. I look at these news reports. I'm like, we don't even own it. Now, Single Tax Colony did buy that property.
Ah.
And so, you know, we haven't really started formal discussions. We've had just some very informal conversations with a few people within Single Tax and expressed an interest in possibly buying that from Single Tax. Of course, it'd be really great if we could get them just to turn around and donate
gift
it to the city and make it parkland. And
we're talking about the little restaurant.
Yeah, the little restaurant that's been sitting at the bottom
of the
cliff. The
Pope family used to own. Were they still the owners?
They were the owners. Yeah, that was.
And they wanted to do a condo situation, but it just was too small of a piece.
Yeah, that
and that was
pass.
Turned down.
That was so, turned down. But you know, I think that you know, while it's not in the plans for the, you know, renovations at the pier with the Restore Act money, it's a great location to put that outdoor workout facility, and because that's a place that's highly visited. The other location, which was down on Morphy Avenue at the Mike Ford Tennis Center, that area. I think that their tennis players, pickleball players go there, but I don't think that your day strollers and your joggers necessarily go by there. But they all want to go down, you know, the bayfront, and so I think it would be highly utilized there, yeah. And I would be really in favor of putting it there.
Just a little premature speculation right now.
Well, I don't know how premature that is. I think it's okay. Maybe a little bit more than premature, but it hasn't happened. You know, it's not 100%. You know, it's not imminent, but we're working that towards that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jack. Real quick, well, the Arts Alley is looking good. The murals are going up, and the Clock Corner or Gaston Square.
Yep.
Did I say it right? Gaston Square.
Is it Gaston Square or Gaston Plaza?
Gaston Plaza. That's works being done there, and
a lot of things being done right now. You know, you're really, really close to. We're probably really getting really close to starting with the Triangle property. You know, and with walking paths, walking trails, a nature center there, outdoor, you know, classroom there. A lot of things going on, and you know, you're seeing a lot of infrastructure projects going on. It's disrupting traffic from time to time, but you know, it's going to be around for a while. You know, we need to get this done, and so it's going to go on for a while. A lot going on in this city. Lots of things going on.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Lord,
for your time this morning and for your service to the Fairhope City Council. Jack Burrell. Meeting is at 6 tonight. Work session is at 4:30. You can watch them in person or live or later on the City of Fairhope's YouTube channel. It is 8:52 and 73 degrees. Good morning.
From the Spring Hill Toyota Traffic Center, one more check of traffic here on your Monday morning, and we're still looking good on the Bayway Causeway through the tunnels and the clearing stages of the earlier accident in front of the Festival Center, Airport Boulevard at Mont Lamar, and Highway Patrol still working accidents in Baldwin.